Let's remain standing for the reading of the word. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 40, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful for your word today. And Lord, knowing that we're living in a time of great expectation, the world doesn't seem to have that same expectation. They're looking for the end. They're looking for some kind of a thing. But Lord, we know we'll be gone before one bomb strikes the earth. So we're looking forward, Lord, to gathering together of the saints and just to be with you, Lord, forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Almost didn't recognize you with your hair up on top. So, this morning we're going to close out this sermon. Probably it'll take three or four more sermons to do that, but we're getting down to the end of Satan's Eden. And we'll begin with Brother Bram's closing prayer at paragraph 88, where he said, "Dear Heavenly Father, as the days are closing and we see it drawing nigh," the promise is drawing nigh. So we have to ask ourselves, what promise is he talking about? He was just talking about the New Jerusalem. We pray, dear God, that you place that upon our hearts so we won't make any mistakes. I probably should have put that in bold and highlighted. Now, what is he praying here for is that the New Jerusalem will be always on our minds. Just like before we go on any destination vacation, we are thinking about where we're going continuously. It's always on your mind. It creates us in us an expectation. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And that is exactly what we're trying to do, live in an expectation of the promise of God that he has for us. From invisible union of the bride, Brother Bram said, now notice, all was ready. Everything had been kindled and made ready, and everybody was standing up. I had my head sticking up and my arm around my wife. We was looking. The children standing there all were looking up like that. My, it was something, because we were expecting it. It was promised to us. Amen. The word promises this. It shall come to pass before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall come, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit from on high. The former and the latter rain shall come together in the last days. All these promises through the scriptures has been given. We're looking upward, watching at the true bride across the nation this hour, looking up, okay? The church, he's coming one of these days, just as sure as he comes the first time, he's coming again. Get everything ready. Separate yourselves from the shuck, lay in the presence of the sun, keep looking up and be under expectation. So this morning, I would like to take our thoughts on the simple word expectations. The people were glad to see him because they were expecting him. You know, if you're not expecting him, you're not going to be too happy when he comes, because you probably be caught with your cookie or your hand in the cookie jar. So, but if you're expecting, you're looking for it with great anticipation. You're getting ready to meet him. Now, this morning, as I said, I'd like to speak on the subject. And so then I will entitle this message, Expectation. What took place before he came the first time will take place before he comes the second time. I believe our expectations will create the atmosphere for his coming. But to look at this thought on expectation, let's look at a few people who were in this correct atmosphere to receive Christ at his first coming. And so, actually, this week we're speaking on expectation. Next week, we're speaking on the atmosphere that we will be in. All right? But notice, so they were looking for this atmosphere to receive Christ at his first coming. Then we will understand the correct atmosphere we should be in to receive him at his second coming. But it starts with an expectation. It starts with your knowing that he's coming. It starts with the promise made, and now we're looking for the promise kept. In order to do that, we will have to do something, some reading, to see the atmosphere of expectation the people were in back in the Alpha to know what to expect in this Omega. From Luke chapter 1, we're going to read some verses here. For as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Now remember, Luke wasn't there around Jesus, but he was there after Jesus, and he was a physician, and he was good at taking notes. So he actually took down notes of his discussions with all the believers, okay? Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So, in other words, Luke wasn't bragging here. He would just say, hey, it all made sense. It was all crystal clear to my mind. I didn't have to go through 40 years of trying to figure out whether I'm a Pentecostal or whether I believe the message. It just came to me. I'm not a Pentecostal. This message is a million miles beyond Pentecost. Million miles. That's what Brother Branham said. A million miles beyond Pentecost, and yet people want to lag behind. I don't understand, because here's a physician. He came to, he said, hey, it makes sense, right? Look, I came out of football. And when I heard this message, it made sense. I dropped everything else. It made sense to me. Okay? It should make sense to you. That thou mightest know the with certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of the Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, and of course of Abiah, and his wife was of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, her name as Elizabeth, or was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Now the word righteous comes from the English King James era, the English word right wiseness. Okay? Actually, the word righteous means rightly wise. So they were both rightly wise before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, and they were blameless. Anybody here raise your hand and say you're blameless? Well, we got some way to go to get into that expectation and atmosphere, don't we? And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in age. And they were both righteous, rightly wise. In other words, the Bible says they were, I'll look at the pronunciation verses. They were dikaios, okay? And it is use of him whose way of thinking, feeling, and acting is wholly conformed to the will of God. In other words, God is working in you to will and to do, so your doing is his willing. Well, are we? And who therefore needs no correction in their heart or their life. God doesn't have to come and spank you every so often to get you straightened up. You spank yourself, all right? Truly Christ-centered, approved of or acceptable of God. Now, I know that we are not in that condition yet, because if we were to meet him, or if we were to meet some important person in the world, we'd be early to meet that person. But we can't even get here 20 minutes early when the prophet says you should be here at your post of duty. See, you don't come to church to hear a sermon. I'm sorry. You come to service to worship. And you come to service to worship him, not the preacher. I don't care about it. I care about you, but I don't care about putting on a show. You don't come for me. You come to hear from God. All right? I'm going to show you what Brother Bram says in just a minute. Yet we hardly show up a few minutes early before the song serves. Now, if you had a meeting with the governor, wouldn't you be there at least 30 minutes before your meeting? Maybe even an hour? If you had an interview, would you be there 15 minutes late or 5 minutes before the interview? No, I don't think so. I think you'd be there on time. And God wants us on time. So I'm not rebuking you. I'm just saying, listen, Laodicea is lax, okay? lax and drifting. And everything is just kind of like people think of God as being their daddy instead of their father. You know, daddy is kind of a common term, but, you know, like Brother Branham talked, they would say, oh, daddy, oh, that's so irreverent of God. He's your father, but he's your God first. Well, don't ever forget that. He's your God first. And as your God, you should be fearing and trembling, okay? We actually should arrive, like I said, 20 minutes before song service begins, according to our prophet. Now, I can't imagine showing up like we do to the great Creator who's waiting on you to arrive, to pray. And, you know, I hope that our prayers aren't one-sided. I hope every time you're praying that God is speaking back to you. If he's not, then you're apparently not approaching him right. Okay? We should come early and make sure that we're prayed up properly. Now, the prophet of God that was sent to this generation, he said, from God in simplicity, when a minister walks into a congregation of people praying in the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven. He might not have talked to you while you came in 20 minutes early and you're praying to him, but somehow he'll either it's in my notes because he put it there, or he gives it to me while I'm sitting here, but you're going to hear from heaven. You're going to get your answered prayer, okay? That's just all. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into the confusion, then you're so confused, the spirit is so grieved, and we don't want that. No, we want to come here to worship. Now, Brother Branham, Sister Betty Phillips told me this. She actually stayed with the Branhams during the summer because she was good friends with Becky. Brother Branham actually went to Brother Collins and asked permission for her to spend the summer in Tucson with his family. And so she went down there and she said, I remember one Sunday morning we were all up and it seemed like everybody was just in their pajamas. And Brother Branham came out dressed for church. And he said, why isn't anybody ready for church? And Billy Paul spoke up and said, well, Dad, he said, we're not going. And he said, what do you mean you're not going? He said, why are you not going? Well, because we went last week and they didn't say anything about you. They didn't even acknowledge you were there. He said, I don't come to church to be acknowledged. I come to worship God. Get your clothes on. It's not right to stay home. And yet people stay home. People listen to tape. Oh, it's okay for me. I'll put my feet up on the duofold and I'll listen to a tape. Yeah, is that right? Brother Branham said, get on your clothes and we're going to church. All right? So, Brother Branham had a God first and then a father. All right. So we read again, and they were both righteous. How many couples do we have in this world where both are righteous? And that was before God. And the word before is emprosate or something like that. And it means in the presence of. So in the presence of God, they were righteous. Or in the presence of God, walking. They had ordered their life or conducted their life in such a way in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, they were blameless. Now, this couple had made a conscious effort to walk and to talk and to live a life that honored and placed God's word and his commandments above everything else in their life, giving God the preeminence. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, let the word of God be on your before your eyes, be in your head, be in your ears, as you walk in the way, as you're sitting down, as you're sleeping, etc. In other words, the word of God should always be on our mind. Not who's running for what office. I don't even care about politics, okay? Used to, but I don't anymore. You should not care about who says what about so-and-so, because it doesn't matter. That's their opinion. Everybody has one. They got a nose, don't they? I've seen very few people. I have seen a few people in this world that don't have a nose, but it was cut off or broken off or in an accident of some sort. But God gave us all a nose. All right? God also allows us to have an opinion. But if our opinion is not his opinion, it's a wrong opinion. Because When God wants to glorify his saints, the word is doxa. It means the opinions and values and judgments of God. God wants us to have his opinion, just like you want your sons and your daughters to have an opinion. Your opinion. The right opinion. God wants us all to have his opinion and his values. How many parents teach values to their kids? That's what God wants us to do. That's what the message came down. He came down to prepare us. He came down with a shout. He instructed us through a prophet how to get ready for the end time going home. And the bride will make herself ready. So she will accept what he says and enter into it. I hope that's getting across to everybody. This couple had made a conscious effort to walk and talk, to live a life that honored and placed God's word and his commandments above everything else in their life, giving God the preeminence. Does your life give God the preeminence? 99%. How about 70? How about 60? How about 50? You see, we got to give God preeminence in everything. He gives us every breath. We should thank him for it. Do you know that? He gives us everything that we have. We should thank him for it. They were not argumentative toward each other, as everyone seems to be in this day. Everybody's touched off. And God gave me a dream this morning at 5 o'clock. It's very, very, very good dream. It changed my understanding of everybody, everything. And I'm not going to explain it this morning because we don't have time. But next week, I'll get into it when we talk about the atmosphere. But this dream was just so enlightening to me that I realized everything is a reaction to an action. Everything we do is like a spring that's so wound so tight, you know, so tight that it just... You know, it just springs. Somebody bumps into you, the spring. Somebody else bumps into you, the spring. People bump into each other, the spring. All right? And I won't tell you where I was at, but I'll do that next week. I want to keep you expecting, okay? But anyway, I believe it was from God because the last two nights he's done that to me. He's given me these tremendous dreams, and I know they're from him, so... But I like what Brother Branham said about this couple. From Resurrection of Lazarus, he said, "Before God does end everything here on earth, I want you to catch this close. Before God does anything on earth, he always sends a witness from heaven to declare it. Now, before Jesus was born..." Now, remember, who's a witness before Jesus comes? Who came down to Abraham before the promised son came? The Father. Who came down to this hour as the appearing before the coming? The Father. The presence of God has come down with a shout, with a message, with a shout, a voice, and a trump. He does all three. So he's still here until we're out of here. Now, before Jesus was even born, why? God sent a witness. Signs and wonders begin to appear of his coming, just as it's appearing today by witness of his second coming again. See, signs and wonders. This is the day that there has never been an age through all the church ages where that ever produced what this age is producing right now, for its coming of the Lord is drawing near. Don't you believe it? You know, if you look up the word where Jesus said, they said, "What will be the sign of your coming?" That word is parousia. There's 23 times it's used in the Bible. And if you look up each time it's used, you'll see there's a total of about 86 different signs and events of his presence, of his parousia, of his appearing. Okay? And Jesus tells us about 43, and then Paul goes on and he tells us about quite a few of them, then actually Peter and James and John also talk about it. So all of them add to the different signs and events we should be looking for. And guess what? 82 of the 86 have already taken place. And he's still here till we're caught away. We were raptured and changed and everything else. So there's four things left. That's the resurrection and change of the body and in the catching away. You know, so we're actually living in a time, we're seeing many, many things. The Word of God confirmed, vindicated. We had a prophet to this age to wrap things up, to teach all the little children what they're expected to learn from the fathers. All right? The apostolic fathers. Now, I would just like to say, I don't care how you feel, because we don't go by feelings. So stop your complaining and fussing with one another, or you will miss the second coming of Christ. Brother Bram said, if you're fussing, you're not going to make it. He'll keep you out of there. We sometimes stay home because something in our bodies hurt. Well, come to God, and He promised to take all of your pain away. The Bible says, I am the God that healeth all our diseases. And apparently God is not where you're at because you're not getting healed. You come to God and He's going to heal. I'm not God. Brother Bram was not God. But he had the Word. And we're preaching the same thing he preached. And so God, the same God. Look, God came down over the meeting in Africa. They took pictures of it. They took film of it in three rainbows, just like Brother Branham. Confirming, I'm preaching the same thing he preached. It was a horizontal rainbow. But we would rather take an Advil or some prescription medication instead of, or even in some natural method, instead of trusting God for your healing. We can scour the internet. Well, if I've got a headache, what do I do? And this doctor says this. This doctor says the opposite. This doctor says something else. And so you can look up every single thing and get so enamored by all these witnesses talking about what they don't even know about, instead of going to God and saying, God, I need help. I need help. Now, I had a problem, and I asked prayer, and God delivered me from that problem I had. He's delivered me. And so I'm very, very thankful that y'all have been praying, and the people around the world have been praying. Because it's no sense in going and looking at the internet to find a solution on something. If you want to get how to build something, yeah, that's okay. Or if you want to check out prices or something on something you're going to buy, that's okay. Or even if you want to hear an old Western, Brother Brown watched Westerns, okay, that's okay. But don't let distractions come. Don't be using YouTube like a babysitter. Don't be using YouTube for distractions. Get yourself into the Word. That's as much of a distraction. That's not a distraction. That's actually drawing you in. It's actually creating the right atmosphere. That is why I really love when I hear the testimony of some of the older saints, like Sister Betty Phillips. She's 78. When she had her eighth stroke some time ago, last year, I think it was last year. As time flies, I don't even remember. It could have been 2 years ago. As she lay there in the hospital bed, the doctors told her that she would never walk again. So she turned to the nurse and said, I will walk out of here by the morning or in the morning. Even though there was no sign of any recovery yet. But all night long, she kept praising and thanking. Not just praising, but thanking Jesus for healing her. By His stripes, I am healed. By His stripes, I am healed. And when morning came, she got up and walked out of the hospital on her own. That is just like the saints of old who prayed through. God has an atmosphere we need to be in to receive His Son. Remember, the people, Brother Branham said, on the other side, he said they were all wonderful, had a lovely spirit. They're all loving people. And he said, and that's the way it was. And that's the way it's going to be. That you got to be there. He said, without perfect love, you won't enter that place. Now back to what Brother Brown was telling us. He said, drawing nigh, rather, and we're nearing the time of the close of the world's history when Jesus shall come. notice, signs begin to appear. There was a man by the name of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, righteous, holy people, keeping the commandments of God and walking in the statutes and ordinances of God, and they were blameless. And then Brother Bram says, that's the kind of home we need today. Don't you believe it? Instead of that, in the church today, we have everything else but holiness and righteousness. But they were righteous people, godly people, walking in the commandments of the Lord, keeping all the ordinances. They were blameless. Concerning all the ordinances, they were blameless. Zacharias was a priest at the temple, and his office was to burn incense while prayer was being made. And one day, while he was in the temple burning incense, Gabriel, an angel from God, came down and stood by the altar of incense and said, "Zacharias, fear not. Your prayers are heard." Oh, I love that. His wife was barren. She hadn't had any children. She was past the age of bearing. But he lived right before God. He lived right before God and believed on God. Too many of us put our faith in some doctor and his methods instead of God, who heals the source of your trouble. In all of his great, dark, long hours of worry, finally the angel come and said, "God has heard your prayer." I remember back when I was in college and I broke my back. And I think you've maybe heard this story before. And I broke two of the transverse processes that are on the side of your bones that stick out and attach the muscles to them. And I broke them. I was playing hockey and I was crossing the ice and I stepped on a stick, and my body went up in the air, and I started heading for the net, not the net, but the goalposts, and they were frozen into the ice, so they weren't going to budge. I was going to break or whatever, and I did break. And so I was headed for my head, and I turned my head, and I end up breaking my back. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't get up. I actually, arm over arm, went the entire length of the ice, went over to my car, and pulled myself up with my hands, got in behind the wheel, turned it on, went straight down to the football doctor, because I was playing football. So I went down to the athletic department, went to the doctor. He took some x-rays and said, "You've broken two transverse processes." He said, "I'll give you some medication, painkiller." He said, "This may take 6 months to heal. What'll happen is it'll take about 6 weeks for the inflammation to go down. And then once the inflammation goes down, the muscles will start to work themselves back through your body and they'll attach. It's called muscle memory." That was on a Saturday. Sunday, I went to church with my family, but I just sat around all day. I couldn't lay down. It hurt too much in my back. I could sit down in a chair and lean back. And so the next day, Monday, I had to teach. I was doing student teaching. I had to be there. It was about two blocks away, so I went up. And all day long, I couldn't sit down in a chair, and I couldn't stand to teach. So I got a chair, something a little bit shorter than these, and I just kind of propped up my backside, and I could sit that way. Then that night I had to coach hockey. And I went to the rink, but what happened on Sunday is I was listening to Brother Bram's life story, and I heard how his mother had fed him some beans. He could never take the beans. He always threw up. And this particular night, he said, "I'm going to believe God for my healing." And he took those beans and he started to throw up. He caught a throw up and he swallowed it. That's pretty graphic, but that's what he did. And I didn't know Brother Bram was a prophet. That was 1974, I think it was. I didn't know Brother Bram was a prophet, but I knew he was a man of God that talked to God and God talked back, like the Old Testament saints, like Abraham and Joseph and different people like that. And I said, "This man is just like them. He can talk to God and he gets answers from God." So I said, "You know what? I'm going to believe like he believes." God's not a respecter. See, I've always believed God's not a respecter of persons. So I went to that school all day. Then I went to hockey practice. All right? I laced my skates on, but I could barely pull them tight because the strain in your lower back was too hard. So I got them laced, but they were kind of loose. And I jumped out on the ice. And the very first step that I hit the ground, a super duper pain went through my back. By the time I hit my second step, there was no pain anymore. Then at third, fourth, fifth, no pain. I was skating just like I had before I broke my back. God is a healer, and I've seen it firsthand. And I've seen it recently, secondhand, okay? Hallelujah. So if you believe that you're going to come, like Brother Brown says, the people come praying, you got a request, bring it to church and be praying to God and see if he doesn't answer your prayer through something that is said or even while you're sitting there speaking to you directly. So we close right there and go home, and everyone who believes would be healed instantly. So listen again to what Brother Branham, a vindicated prophet of God, is saying. Now, if you want to hear your prayers and send an angel to your home, live right. See, that's the first thing. You got to live right. No fussing, boys, with each other. No fighting. I know that's things that kids do, but you don't need to do it. All right? Live right. Do right. That means no video killing machines. That's right. You know, the government is actually who invented those. I'm going to get into that. I don't know if today or next week, but they create an atmosphere of death. I wouldn't let my kids, when they were growing up, play video games. I think we had one. It was called Oregon Trail, and it was more of a history type thing you could learn. But no, the video games actually have produced all the mass murders we've had around this country. You know, almost every one of them is tied to a video game or video games or that mentality. And it's wrong. It actually creates in you an instinct to kill instead of to pray and ask God to help you. But you see, they live right, they do right, treat everybody right. Be right before God, and God will grant that to you. But we don't. We want to get on the phone and gossip about somebody or something, even though we know that it's wrong. Why don't we just have the courage to say, you know what, I don't want you talking about this person anymore because everything you say is not right. I want you to say something nice about them right now. Before we end, I want you to say something nice about that person. Brother Brown said, even his wife, he said, he was talking to her and she was talking to him. She goes, "Yo, we should believe something good about everybody." He said, well, what do you think about the devil? And she goes, well, he's a good adversary. All right. You can say that about your enemy. He's a good adversary. He knows how to prod me. He knows how to kick against the pricks. Okay. So that's saying something good. All right. But try to be more Christ-like. That's what Christian means. They saw the people, they called them Christians because they were Christ-like. And so Zacharias met an angel from the Lord. His name was Gabriel. He told Zacharias what would take place concerning him and his wife. He spoke to him that he and his wife would have a child. He spoke how that this child would go before and prepare the way of the Lord, of the Son of God. And so, what did Zacharias do? Well, he finished out all his duties and then went home to his wife and prepared for that little one to come. Now, Luke 21:21-24 says, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he had beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Expectations. Could you imagine what went on in the minds of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth? Here they were very old. I think she was 69 or something like that. And well stricken with age according to the scriptures. Yet the first thing we hear in God's word is that he could hardly wait to finish a job, and then, like a bee to a hive, he went straight home to give his wife the good news. And what news it must have been to her. She lived with him for 70 years or so, 69, or maybe 50 at least. And she goes, "You're wanting to have a baby? Like, you haven't been near me for 20 years. You're wanting to have a child?" Yet the first thing we hear in God's word is that he could hardly wait to finish the job. Okay, so, and we ought to be expecting a body change any day now. But they didn't stop to argue. I mean, he came home and told his wife he couldn't speak, so he had to write down, "Hey, we're going to have a baby. Okay, so we got to do some things." She saw him and said, "Wait a minute now. I can understand if you were younger being away from me for a while, but you're older now. We haven't had a relationship like that for a long time, and now you're going to want to have it." And I can just imagine what she must have been thinking. You know, here's my husband. He's been away for about 2 weeks, and he comes home with a story about having a baby, a promise from an angel of all things. And how do we have this baby? Well, there's got to be a preparation made. Now, babies just don't come by some spontaneous combustion. They don't come because we talk about it. We have to do something, you see? God is in us to will and to do. If we just get as far as willing, we're not doing. We need to do also. Nor do they come by talking about them, nor by wishful thinking. There is something in the husband and wife must do in order for that child to come. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministry were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Now notice that the Lord knew the exact time of this conception. We can read the rest of the story, but we do not have time today. Now let's just look at two other examples then of this expectation that created the right atmosphere for the people to see him at his first coming. We go on to chapter 2 and verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him." Now, this is before the giving out of the Holy Ghost to the masses, because we know that the prophets all had the Holy Ghost. So did this man, Simeon. He was full of the Holy Ghost, waiting for the consummation of, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that we should that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord. Now I imagine he was 70 plus. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, and a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" So he was a second example of living under an expectation of seeing the coming of the Lord. Now that was our second example. But let's look at our third example, and we'll have completion. "And there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but so 84, that's 84. She was 84, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she was an 84-year-old woman, probably full of the same aches and pains that we have, but she was at church every day. Well, whether anybody was there or not, she was serving God. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee and to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew. Oh, excuse me, I must have missed something there. Okay. And she coming in that instant, she came in the same instant they were there, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all of them that looked for redemption in Israel. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and grace of God was upon him. Now, Matthew 24:42-51. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. In other words, he would have stood right there when the guy wanted to go through the front door. He'd say, what are you doing? And scare the guy off. Okay. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. When? Not when you're thinking he's coming. It's when you think he's not coming. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over all his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant saith in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and that's the Baptist church today. I don't want the Lord to come in a rapture right now because I'm enjoying myself too much. I've heard those very words from a Baptist. Ella has too. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, they don't want to believe that he appeared in this hour, that he's still here. They think, well, he's coming, oh, it's been 2,000 years. There might be another couple thousand, might be another couple hundred, might be even 40 years. I'm going to die before that happens. That's their attitude. I'm going to be here when he comes, all right? Now, the devil tried to take me 4 years ago. I walked the other day, just under 15,000 steps. All right, I'm doing better than I've done in my life. It's your expectations, people. And if you expect him, you conduct yourself as though you do expect him. If you expect to meet him while you're in church, you will get what you're looking for. Every Wednesday night, I expect to see Brother Branham come through that door and say, get ready, we're going home. I do. I look forward to it. Because I know one day it's going to happen. I really believe it with all my heart. I'm expecting to see Brother Vail. I'm expecting to be there. From expectations, Brother Branham said, expectations. As I mentioned here the other night, you usually get what you expect, don't you? If you come tonight to the meeting just expecting to see something that you could criticize the meeting about, well, the devil will show you plenty of it. You go back with a lot of criticism, just like you're expecting. If you think your husband's saying something to you that's unpleasant, well, you get what you expect. But is that really what he meant? or was it really a compliment and saying something nice, but you didn't hear the same thing? What I'm saying is you get what you expect. You come to church thinking the preacher is preaching about you. Yeah, you're going to get what you expect. But maybe he's not preaching about you. Maybe God's preaching to you. Okay? So you go back with a lot of criticism, just like you expected. But if you come tonight expecting, just say, Lord, I come to see you. I come for the benefits to be healed. I come for the benefits of my soul. Well, I expect you to give it to me because I'm here in this place that's dedicating to you your glory, and you'll get just what you expect. That's right. You always, and you can never go above, you can, oh, this is beautiful. This should be highlighted, should be underlined, should be bold. You can never go above your expectations. Can never go. A year ago, my expectations was, oh, if I can only do 5,000 steps a day, I'd be just tremendously pleased. And I'm finding for the last week, I've averaged over 10,000. All right, a day. I actually enjoy walking now. I used to hate walking, and I'm enjoying it. You get what you're expecting. Sarah and I have a little competition. She'll get 12,000 one day. She'll beat me by 1,000. Then I'll get 12,000 the next day and beat her by 1,000. But it's an expectation. We're trying to do our bodies a service. I talked to my brothers, and they're same age, close to a year older. One's a year older, one's a year and a half younger. 1 year and a half younger can't hardly walk around the block. And the one older doesn't want to walk anymore. He just sits in a chair all day and reads a book or something. He enjoys himself. And I said, you've got to get out and walk. You've got to get out and do something. You got to expect more out of life than just sitting, okay? But from expectations and what love is, Brother Branham said, now, I want each of us now in our hearts to dwell on this thought of expectation. Whatever you expect is usually what you get. Can we all say that? Let's read that together. Whatever you expect is usually what you get. You heard about the lady that prayed for the mountain to be moved and got up the next morning, looked out the window and said, just as I expected, it's still there. Well, that's the reason that she expected it. That's right. I saw a little clip, and this is weeks ago when I watched YouTube. I don't hardly watch this stuff anymore, but there's a little boy, and people were making mockery of him because he had told the village that mountain's going to move. And so they all stood by, and this little boy was down by the ocean or by the sea, but this mountain was across, and the boy, he just kept concentrating, and all of a sudden, a rock came down, and then another. Brother Bram said, when you say that you believe that this mountain's going to move, he said, look for a pebble. It might move one pebble at a time, but it's starting to move. You see, you've got to be expecting or you don't get it. Oh, I could go on and on about this. I mean, Brother Peter and his wife, they have a good testimony of her praying through and expecting healing. So you heard about the lady that prayed for the mountain, okay? She expected it wouldn't move, and it didn't. That's right. Now, you want to have an expectation all the way from your heart, your soul, your body, and mind that God is going to give us a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, I feel it, that it's near us, and God is willing and ready to give it to us. You see, when people came up to stand before Brother Branham for prayer, before they even got there, the angel of the Lord, they could feel it 8 feet away. I know, I've talked to brothers who said so. They could feel the presence of God so strong, and they said, it was so beautiful, I can't explain it. It was so peaceful, and they're so holy. It was such a reverent spirit, and it was just, and I could feel it the minute I walked within 8 feet of where he was standing. Well, when you're coming up for praying, and you're expecting, and then you come into that atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is so powerful and you can feel that presence. You know what? You get what you expect. Now, If you expect what if you expect, that's what you receive. If you come to the meeting, say, "Well, I'm going down. I'm just going to I'm going to find some flaws of that meeting. I'll find some flaws of that preacher." I'll bet you can find it. I bet you can. Don't worry, you'll get it. The devil will show you plenty of them. Yes, sir. The devil showed plenty of flaws that Brother Bram had sign people. With the voice of the sign people. No, not the voice sign. They were, believe the sign people, you know, that end up walking away. 30 years, you know, the guy was 30 years. He was song leader for a certain preacher. And then all of a sudden you don't believe Brother Bram even exists. I knew a woman that was sat when she was a child in Brother Bram's services, and for 50 years she was in this message, and all of a sudden one day she don't believe it no more. Yeah. You get what you're looking for. You want to find something that doesn't quite line up to your thinking, you're going to find it. Yep. But I can tell the same story to one person, they can tell it to eight, and by the time it gets to the eight, it's different than what I told. And so the eighth person will say, "Well, that ain't right." And the first person says, "Well, that's somebody, that you're not saying what I heard." So, you know, the old telephone thing, you ever do that in school? All right. Same group found fault with Jesus when he went through the pool of Bethesda, and all those cripples laying there, lame, halt, blind, and withered, passed by every one of them, never healed any of them, went over and healed a man laying on a pallet, walked away. And then Jews, now he's a healer. Let him heal him. Just as you expect, that's what you get. You know? But you come to a meeting expecting to see the glory of God moving, the power of God, sinners being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, sickness being healed, then watch what God shows you. Like when we were in Uganda, and there was a huge storm, and God asked me to, so what are you sitting for? Because I was preaching, I couldn't hear my own voice, much less them out in the audience hear it. So I went and sat down, and God said, "What are you sitting for? I told you to take charge of the meeting." I said, how do I do that? But I just obeyed. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just walked back from about here to that piano. I walked back to the pulpit, and the first step I saw, actually, Jesus in the boat, and he sat up and he said, "Peace, be still," and the waves were calmed. My second step, and that's about like half a second, probably less. My second step, I saw Brother Bram running around the tree because the storm had stopped in Colorado. And by the time I got to the pulpit, I just said, "I take every spirit under here." First of all, before I did the last four steps to the pulpit, the devil was on my back and said, "You're going to make a fool of yourself if you go ahead and do it." And my immediate thought was, "I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you?" And so I walked to the pulpit and I said, "I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God." And within seconds, just all of a sudden, the rain stopped, the wind stopped, the hail stopped, everything else. That's God. You believe like a simple child that he's going to do. I couldn't stop a storm if my life depended on it, but God can. And he did. You got to allow yourself to be so humble, so simple, like a child, that you can do anything because God told you. You've got, like the little Brother Bram talked about, the little brother that he said, if the Lord told me to go run through that wall, he said, I know there'd be a hole when I got there. All right? In other words, you have to be so simple in your thinking that you don't care about those things that are contrary. You think about what God said. Yes, sir. See, you are a creator yourself. How many is born in, again, amen? Do you know each one of you is a creator? You are a part of God, you're a son of God, an offspring of God, which means you sprung off of God, which means you have the same life in you that God has in him. A daughter of God, is that right? then you are a creator. Now, did you ever see people? They were nice people. I ain't saying this for any back now. Nice people, but you could hardly stand to be around them. You know that. Nice people, but it's their atmosphere that they're in. I remember this for next week. Then you've seen other people that you just love. You just long to be with them. Is that right? It's that atmosphere that's around them all the time. Now, my wife sitting back here, she don't know this, but she's supposed to be here somewhere. And you can imagine in our home what takes place in a run of a day. People coming, going like that. And I go in sometimes and the poor little fellow is there in the kitchen crying. Not even a chance to cook the children anything to eat through the day. And there it is. And the little kitty, the little girl about 2 years old, little Sarah and Rebecca. And they're in there and they're crying and going on. And my wife is crying and they're crying. And she looked up and said, she'd say, Bill, I'm just about to go crazy. I don't know what I'm going to do, she said. And a gray-haired woman at 34 years old, gray hair. And so I said, well, now, that's right, honey. I never, don't fuss at her. See? No. That's right, honey. See? It's very bad, but you see, we're serving the Lord. So we, see, what I'm doing all the time in my heart, I'm trying to create a different atmosphere. See, when they're fussing and stewing, I've made my mistake. I fuss back. If they want it, I'll give it back to them. That's wrong. What you should do is try to change that. Create a different atmosphere. An atmosphere of love. An atmosphere of expectation. They're all nervous and they're tore up. See? Now I was thinking in my heart, oh Lord, now send your spirit and your love to my poor little tore up wife and say, yes, dear, that's right. I say, what was this here? And I say, bless your heart, honey. I'll tell you. I'll help you do this. And then down in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, send your spirit that's into me, it's in me, into her now. And God, quieten my family now. I'm your servant, Father. And the first thing you know, she'd say, Bill, you know, a certain thing. Them little old black eyes are snapping again, you know. And look at the baby. She's in there, got her blocks, and her babies are playing together. What is it? It's creating an atmosphere, hallelujah. Brother, let me tell you, brothers, the atmosphere is what does it. It's exactly right. Look, it's not the hen that hatches the eggs. It's the atmosphere. Yes, sir. The same egg under a pup, and then it hatched the chicken just the same. Put it in the incubator, it'll bring the chicken just the same. It's the atmosphere. Hallelujah. What we need is a Holy Ghost atmosphere. That's right. An atmosphere where the power of God's are moving in one accord, one place, gathered together under that atmosphere of expecting God to move down and do signs and wonders. Amen. Let's move ourselves up into that bracket, step up into faith, move out these three dimensions up into the next one. Move yourself from these three dimensions into the next one. He's not saying kill yourself. He's saying don't be subject to what's going on here. Be subject to what's going on there. You come to church. I can't guarantee nothing, but God said it through a prophet. You come to church expecting to hear from God. You will. You're expecting that there will be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost before we go. You will get it. We're already seeing hundreds of prayers being answered through the brethren praying. Now let's go one step further. Let's be expecting that when we come to church, something will happen. That, like the people saw in Africa where those rainbows were above. All right? Let's be expecting something to happen when the storms went away. Let's be expecting, like in Kentucky and in Argentina, when it was 110 degrees, and or 100, it was 100 here, 110 down there, and we prayed to God that he would take he would lower the temperature by 30 degrees, and all of a sudden, within an hour, boom, it went. Let's be expecting to hear from God. Let's be expecting something from each other. Don't be looking at each other and saying, oh, you know what? You've got this flaw. So therefore, because 1 out of 100 characteristics you've got, 1 characteristic I don't like you. Let's be looking at each other and saying, you know what? You are so wound up like a little spring. So wound up. And somebody bumped you and boom, the spring went off. Bump, spring went off. Let's be looking and saying, you know what? There's a spring. There's tension. What causes that spring to snap? Tension. Let's create an atmosphere to take that tension off. Amen? Then Brother Branham sings a song, one of them. They were gathered in the upper room while praying in his name. When the fire that fell at Pentecost, they were baptized in Jesus' name. Why? Because they were gathered and praying in his name, expecting. Do we come to church expecting? Or do we come to church just, well, maybe I might get today a good sermon, maybe not. But I'm doing my duty. Or are we coming to God to worship? And to enter into worship. I know this is going to make the song service good after service here. All right. Now again, from expectations. You usually get what you expect. You come to criticize a meeting, and the devil will show you something to criticize. You're coming to get healed. God will see to it that you get it. He didn't say, be baptized and repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you might get the Holy Ghost. He said, you shall. Amen. Expect it. What do I got to do for it? Repent. Create the atmosphere around you. From leading of the Spirit. He said, expectations. If you're expecting it, you will receive it. You usually get what you expect. What you expected from expectation. He said, we always get what we expect. When people expect anything, well, then they usually get what you look for. It's the mental attitude that you have. Remember this and never forget it. If a wife is fussing at her husband, it's because she's expecting him to fuss back. She's egging him on to fuss back. Why don't you change it and just be... create an atmosphere. All right. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God. It doesn't take gifts of healing to heal the sick people. Wow, that's a strange one. Any person in here, Ella, William, Sally, Silas, I forget your names. But anyway, you pray. You expect it. My daughter Elizabeth was 4 years old. She expected Christina to be healed, and God healed her. Okay? It doesn't take gifts of healing to heal the sick people. Any person in here has a right to meet Satan anywhere. If you're a Christian and defeat him on any grounds that he could stand up. And from, he said, God revealing himself to his people, he said, the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. That's thus saith the Lord. Do you believe that? The word is a seed. Is that right? That a sower sowed in the ground, and every seed will bring forth of its kind. From the hours come, he said, the right mental attitude, your right mental attitude towards God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. From Jehovah Jireh, and then remember, if we go before he comes, we'll be up and in his presence or raised up before the others are changed. Raised up, they're going to be here. They're going to be raised up before we're changed. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Wow. When loved ones who have gone on and you see them, then you get your change. There's something about seeing them that will cause the expectation to grow. Remember, grace and mercy are multiplied by the knowledge of God. Okay? Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we are longing to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad or the rest of them was there. But we see how the Holy Spirit, in his wisdom, We meet one another first. And then when we get there and sing Amazing Grace, that's when there's going to be a time of worship. Can you imagine seeing your loved ones and then, wow. From when their eyes were open, he said, soon there's something greater than this coming. It'll soon be here. He was talking about the tent. It'll be marvelous then, if the Lord willing. How many ever read my last vision that's been wrote up in the magazine? It was in the Voice of Healing, Brother Bram's last, he talked about the tent in that magazine. Wait till you see that take place when it's going to happen in the resurrection. Then this will be minor. What? You mean having no eyes and having an eyeball immediately appear? That happened. That's one of the miracles. Pray for a man whose heel was cut off and God grew the heel back. That's part of the foot. God giving basically part of the limb back to a man. He's not men are not like lizards that can grow things back. But God can. And this is going to be greater than that. Because you're going to get a body change. One that will never be sick. One that needs no more healing. One that's always in the presence of God. Just, oh my. Inviting us into his presence. The God of glory. Soon, something is greater. It'll soon be here. It's so marvelous that if the Lord willing, how many ever read my vision that's been wrote up in the magazine? Wait till you see that take place. Then this will be minor. What the Lord's fixed, you'll just keep on and on and on and on. Jesus is coming. The time of the gathering of the people is at hand, and we must look forward to great things to happen. How many read the sermon, when omnipotence speaks, miracles happen? Did you believe that? Certainly, omnipotence spoke at every junction. And when the church cooled off, then omnipotence spoke. Miracles takes place. And this is a junction of all junctions. This is the end time. The end of the whole history of the world is right now at hand. All of it's wrapping up. So you can expect omnipotence to speak. You can expect the greatest and mightiest miracles that ever happened on the earth will happen in the next few years to come. Jesus tarries, it will, or it will be. And from greater than Solomon's here. So I pray that someday I'll see that great uniting of all the body of Jesus Christ coming together at one great big body, then the rapture shall come. From what is the Holy Ghost? And remember, in the last few sermons I showed you several quotes where Brother Branham said the Old Testament saints will be raised up when we are, because they got to get their body changed. He quoted Paul from Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, chapter 11 of Hebrews is about the saints, the Hebrew saints. And Paul said, they without us will not be made perfect. And Brother Branham said, they have to have this message to get their perfection. Moses and Elijah will be there, one on the right, one on the left. That's what the prophet said when Jesus comes. They'll take this message, so they've got to hear it. They'll take this message to Israel. He talked about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They'll all be there. Brother, sister, you've got a wonderful expectation to be looking for every day. Every day. So what is the Holy Ghost given for? Now, the Spirit of God has worked under justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, baptism of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost. And here it is in the last day, performing and doing the very same thing that it did when it was in Christ. What is it? The church and Christ has become one. Did I read greater than Solomon's here? I pray that someday I'll see that great uniting together of the body of Jesus Christ coming together at one great big body. Then the rapture will take place. Okay. As soon as they connect together, that last link, she will go through the sky shouting. Up come Wesley, Luther, all the rest of them back in those days there. He that was first will be last, and he that's last will be first. They'll come then, and there'll come the resurrection. And Brother Branham said that's the order of the resurrection. You get in an elevator, and you're the first person in, If they're all taking the same floor, you're the last person out because you're kind of wedged between all the others. So Paul's age will actually be, Paul's in first, you know. How's it go again? He that is first, he's his first will be last. So he's last, that's our age, will be first, okay. And then when God's people begins to gather back together, there's unity and there's power, see? And whenever God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There'll be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begin to gather it up. It'll be in the minority, of course, but there will be a great gathering. And from at thy word, he said, one of these glorious days, day breaks, Jesus shall come, and all sorrow will be banished and tears wiped away. Those immortal souls that's resting yonder in paradise shall come forth like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We shall appear on earth and then be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. You're going to get to meet Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the rest of them. From invisible union, there will come forth a resurrection day, which the first will be last, and they which are last will be first. The old prophets will come breaking forth first. Wow. The old prophets. How many prophets can you name? They'll be there. I'm really looking forward to seeing Daniel. I want to talk to Daniel about all the things he went through for 70 years. He was captive in Babylon. He was a teenager. He was probably 16, 17 years old. So he was probably 87 when they left Israel. All the four kings that were there. It's just a tremendous thing. And they see that procession going forth up in the march, like Brother Brown saw the procession of the bride. And we which are alive and remain shall not hinder them which are asleep. And Brother Brown said, that means we shall not go before them. Okay? So we're all together. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we will fall in line with them going in. Hallelujah. All down through the ages of Lutheran, Wesleyan, Methodist, and Presbyterian, on down to the last age who received the word in their age. What a time it's going to be. From Uniting Time and Sinai, said we find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds and those sleeping saints back there could not be made perfect without us. There's many of those Hebrew brethren. So, hey, we're going to see those Old Testament saints. And when they come together, they unite with the living ones, the church uniting with the word, then the church and the word uniting together become one. The dead saints with the living saints uniting together to be one, and all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb. So yes, the Old Testament saints are going to be at the wedding supper. And you know what? As Brother Ram said, they're going to want to talk to you because, you know, I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the fire seven times, and Brother Bram said, it's seven times worse than this hour. You know, the tension and the strain and the pressure, all of this is building, 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 building. It's seven times worse than any other age. What other age has the water been polluted? Has the air been polluted? Has the food been polluted? All of it. And you're still living through it. They're going to want to talk to you. And all you can say to them is, hey, God saw me through it all. And to think of us standing in a moment in twinkling of an eye when the world won't know what's going on. But all of a sudden, it's like I had a dream of the tent one day. And I told it to Billy Paul. He was so excited. And I had this dream. I'm going to tell you another dream. I told you that one before, but Brother Caldwell had a dream. And him and his daughter were walking through the park, and they saw this huge tent, and they asked the man on the bench, he said, what's going on in the tent behind us? And the man turned around and said, I don't see a tent. the world won't know what's going on. It's going to be dimensional, I believe. The world won't know what's going on. But he walked up the tent, and he saw Brother Branham, Brother Vail there. He saw another man there. I won't tell you who it was. But he saw that other man there, and they said to him, "You can go in, Brother Bill, but it's not your time yet," to his daughter. She walked around the other side of the tent. She's like two city blocks, and she walked all the way around. When she came to the other side, she saw all the young people and laughing and just rejoicing, and she heard her dad's voice. She recognized it, and she looked, and there he was, dressed in his 1950s. He was about 20 years old, dressed in his 1950s outfit. You know how they used to wear the black little hat, and, you know, in the 50s, and black little skinny little black tie and black suit and black pants. Yeah, she saw him there. It's going to be a wonderful time, brother, sister. Wonderful time. And to think of us standing in the moment, twinkling of an eye, when the world won't know what's going on. But all of a sudden, you'll see appear before you your loved ones that's gone on, has come to unite with you again. And we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and be caught up together to meet our Lord in the air. Let's get ready. Let's get ready for the midnight cry. It's coming to an hour when you think not. Or it's coming in an hour when you think not. There'll be a cry, not amongst the unbelieving world, but it'll be a secret. From How Can I Overcome, Brother Branham said, sooner or later, we're going to have to give each other up. But that won't hurt the rapture now. See, no, they come first then. Them that are privileged, that's gone up. They come first, see. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when our eyes behold our loved ones, then we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and with them shall be caught up together. From Going Beyond the Camp. And you know that we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Think of the missing people. They can't see you no more. But you're getting together with the rest of the group. They think, they which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder, the word is, those which are asleep. Not dead. No, Christians don't die. They're just taking a little rest. See, that's all. Oh my. And the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, appear to many. And all at once, you happen to stand and look, and well, there's a brother, and you know it ain't long. And in a few minutes, we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and together with them, be missing on earth, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking every day for that day. From Question and Answers, then you believe that Jesus Christ is that Word, and the Word is made flesh and now among us. You see why this sermon is a little bit longer. That's why I didn't put in the dream, because we got a few more pages left. But fulfilling exactly what he said would do in the sage. Now, the first thing happens when we're resurrected. The ones which are living will just remain. The resurrection will set in first, the resurrection of those that are asleep. Then there'll be an awakening time, and those which are asleep in the dust now will be awakened first, and these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption in the rapturing grace of the Lord. And then we'll all get together, and then we begin to get together. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death, but just of a sudden there'll be a sweep go over us, and you're changed. Now think about that. Only two people in the entire history of the earth. Enoch was the first, and Elijah didn't have to die. But Elijah comes back to die. So only one, Enoch, and he's a type of the bride. And so you, the many-membered bride of Christ, are going to have what Enoch had. You're going to be caught up and out of here while you're still yet alive. That is so, so, so tremendous. And you turn back like Abraham was, from old man to young man, from old woman to a young woman. That's this sudden change. What's this sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling like a thought. And you can see those who are already resurrected. Oh, what an hour. Then we'll gather with them and be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, the church will all be together, but after the resurrection and the rapture has set in. You know, years ago I preached a sermon to the ministers because they were wondering, well, how are we all going to get together? You know, there was a guy one time said, well, I got an airplane and I'm going to travel around the world, pick people up and bring them over to the meeting. And that airplane now is about 100 years old. It's getting close to it. I think it was 1940-something. No. Remember, anybody remember Philip? He was ministering to the eunuch, and all of a sudden he was transported over 40 miles away to another city. That's how God's going to take us here. That's why he says, you're traveling like a thought. Oh, boy. I think we could dissect this one a little bit longer, but, you know. Says, and after a while, it says, what is the sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling like a thought, and you can see those then. You can see those then who are already resurrected. Oh, what an hour. Then we'll gather with them and then be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, the church will be all together, but after the resurrection and the rapture has set in. From Luke 21:36. And this is the third pole. Oh, excuse me, some of you had a question. Brother Ram, okay. Luke 21:36. This is the third pole. And is speaking the word. It seems entirely possible for you to speak the word, and one would be completely and fully restored, placed entirely ready for the rapture in the resurrection of the Son of Man. Is this so or is it not? And you would do this if properly pressed upon? Would you not escape all these things? It's got it in ditto there. Escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. And he says, now, my dear friend, see. Now, I think here that you got a good statement. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, that would be so, you said, Brother Bram. In other words, here's what I don't think that it's, well, I believe, I'm not polishing up what you said, but I believe I can make it a little clearer to you, see. You are believing because of the spoken word and things like that he said about, and all of you here witness the squirrels and all these other things that's been done. Now, how do the people witness the squirrels? Because they heard the prophet. They weren't there and didn't see him, but they heard the prophet. Now, there was maybe two or three that did see him, just like there was Matthew, Mark, and John, John and who are the three that went up there with Jesus? Matthew. It was Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John went up with Jesus when he was transfigured, and they saw Moses and Elijah. So there were several brothers who were hunting with Brother Brown. They saw the three squirrels that were spoken into existence, okay? So, and all of you here witness the squirrels and these things, other things. How do we witness it? Through the speaking of the word. And did you notice that was sovereignly given? I never asked him, Lord, let me do this, speak these things in like that, do these things here or there. I never asked him that. He, by his own divine will, came to me and said, you go do this. So, yeah, it's possible with God, all things are possible, but only if God wants it to be that way. Now, from question and answers, the time of the rapture will be the waking of the dead, get together of the living, for the rapture to take place, and Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers, and the ministry that he wants will have to be the same as it was to them. Then without us is not made perfect. Paul said, Hebrews 11, without us they cannot be perfected. They have to have this ministry to raise up the Lutheran, Wesleys, and all of them down through their ages. Well, there's a Hebrew age as well. Again, from question and answers, and then shall he send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds and the utmost parts of earth and to the utmost parts of heaven. That's taking the resurrection, the translation going up. He will send forth his angels to gather. Did you ever think what an angel are, huh? Messengers. He will gather them together, congregate them together. See, bringing them, binding them together from the utmost parts of earth to the utmost parts of heaven. The word that was being made manifest on earth. See, get it? The word's been spoken. Here it's manifest. Now, you ever stop to think about those angels. Just think about this for a minute. I'm going to give you two instances. One place, Brother Brown said, you see those lights in the sky? Those are investigating judgment angels. He said, one day they'll pack you home. There's your answer. You don't need a plane. You've got an angel. Another thing is this. We are speaking to people around the world right now. They're being gathered to this word. All right? So God uses men. He used the prophet. His message is throughout the world. Our website goes into 189 countries. It's around the world. God is using men together. Okay? Now, that's just my thoughts on it. From the Easter seal, he said, now, if that same spirit that was upon him to be the redeemer in that age that we have accepted, now the promise of this, the promise of in this last days, what would take place if you become part of the word, you are redeemed with him because the same spirit that dwelt in Christ is dwelling in you, quickening your life to this age. And it will also, in the end time, quicken your mortal bodies, resurrect them, bring them up again. That takes the gloom away when we look at it that way, and that's the truth. Romans here, Paul has proved it to us. He said, see, if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies. This is the same spirit that raised him up, that quickened the true believer to eternal life. The spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells into the believer, quickens the believer to eternal life. Now, I believe you're all got that Holy Spirit in you. You all have that quickening power. All right? From rising of the sun, he said, now you are already resurrected. When God raised him up, he raised you. The sun is just now on you. And now you're going into a blossoming life like he was to be resurrected completely in this last days. Yeah, just go ahead and just take it out if you can. Your potential you have now. Why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it? Your body come into obedience to the word, didn't it? Into obedience to what? A church? The word, which is the life. You see, you wonder, am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? What has he already done for you? Look at what he's already done and know he which began the good work shall finish it. Don't have to worry about you finishing it. He's going to do it. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. You potentially have the earnest, the waiting. Now, when you get the dynamics, you have been quickened from mortal to immortality. It makes the whole body come into subjection to the word. It'll make you act different, look different, live different. It'll just make you different. Then notice now, as we close, notice, it's just like a little seed laying in the ground. Now, potentially, you are resurrected. You're resurrected when you receive the Holy Spirit in you. You're resurrected right then. Your body's potentially resurrected. So, what does it matter if you get it, the change, this year or next year? It's happening. It's in process. You're going to get it. Okay? Question and answers. And now, the Bible said, and if you call me a prophet, I don't say I am, but if you call me that, remember, I'm saying to you in the name of a prophet, see, in the name of a prophet, the resurrection and the rapture will be general all over the world. No matter where you're at, when that hour comes, you'll be caught up to meet him. That's all. There's nothing going to stop you, no matter where you're at, and I only hope that I'm there, I'm one of them. I just only trust and hope in God that I'll be one of them, and each one of you will be there the same. Just a few more pages here, we'll close. From question and answer, he said, across the world, they won't be gathered into one place to have things in common, but little groups of them will be scattered all over the earth. I believe maybe if the Lord permits, this is a little group of it. Maybe another little group in Asia, one down in Germany, one down somewhere. When I see a vision of the bride the other night that was made up of the international, see? So the bride won't be gathered from one place. It'll be gathered from all over the world. Hey, all I have to do is look at the map and see in all the different nations where people are watching these streaming services and know that it's an international thing. It's happening. Now listen to his words carefully. He says, they will be gathered from all over the world to one place. When? Before the resurrection? No. At the resurrection and the rapture. But make sure that you're in that one place, and that one place is Christ. Okay? From letting off the pressure, he said, can't you see we're at the end time? It's all over. The next thing will be a sweep of getting that little group together, and in a month or so, she'll be gone. Remember, the rapture was like 70, or no, it was 40 days. That's a month or so. That's 6 weeks. As soon as she's gathered together, we're at the end. There's no hope left anywhere. Run to Christ, people. And from the seven church ages, behold, he cometh with clouds. Now, let that just stop here for a minute. Clouds doesn't mean he's coming in a big thunderhead. His mama, bless her heart, she's coming here somewhere, or she's sitting here somewhere. I remember her voice used to sit and tell me and said, he's coming on a great big cloud, going to raise up someday, and God's going to come on it. Now, the cloud that he's coming in is, if we just had the time to get back and get real background and the whole thing. Now, the cloud he's coming in is just not a cloud like a thunderhead, but it's a cloud of glory he's coming in. What's the word glory? It's the opinions, the values. It's the shout. That picture that you see of the cloud, I saw one that was taken from the original. It wasn't the original, but the brother went down to Arizona and actually took the picture of the one that Dr. McDonald had. And I saw it at Brother Vail's. He had a magnifying glass. And you could look and see faces in the cloud. There was millions of faces in that cloud. Brother Bram said, Brother Hick, I saw you in there. All right. So we know that our celestial body, put it that way, our celestial body. Because, you know, the Bible says that if this body of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already in the heavens, okay? Now, the cloud that is coming in, if we just had the time to get back and get a real background on things, now the cloud is coming in is not a cloud like a thunderhead, but a cloud of glory is coming in. See, now, when Jesus was overshadowed by God on Mount Transfiguration, clouds overshadowed him and his raiment. See, and when Elijah would come down, a cloud come down and received him up, not a thunderhead, but a cloud of glory. His great glorious presence will strike the earth. He cometh in clouds. Oh, I love that. Clouds, there'll be wave after wave of his glory will come across the earth, and the resurrection of the saints shall come first. That blessed Holy Spirit that's lived in their hearts, and their dried their corpses laying there and pierced their veins over their cheeks and things like that, and they're placed back in the graveyard, and a great wave of that same Spirit, and wave after wave. He that was last will be first. He that was first will be last. I'm kind of see it that way. That's the order of the resurrection. I won't know nobody in the generation before me or the generation after me. See, he don't know our generation because he never met us. And he don't know the people of his father's generation because he didn't meet those people. Maybe his father, but that's about it. But he knows the people in his generation, like Brother Vail and different ones. I won't know nobody in the generation before me or the generation after me. I'll know those in the generation with me. Every generation will come successfully right as it went down. They which were last will be first. Sure, that's me, see? They which were last will be first. That's me, see? I'll know my people the next time my dad and his people, my grandfather and his people, on down like that, wave after wave after wave. And the saints will rise from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. That makes the old people young again. Yes. And notice closely, for I come to you in cloud, in a cloud, and every eye shall see him. No matter how far back they died, they'll see him. And from Go Tell, he said, we got a message to tell the world Jesus is alive. He is not dead, taking heed to the message. And from I know, he said, and if Job by a vision could stand so firmly upon a promise that much more ought, how much more ought we to do after Christ has raised from the dead and become the first fruits of those that are slept and sent back the Holy Spirit as a seal of promise upon us that we shall live. Because I live, you shall live also. Seeing his great presence among us, working and doing the same signs and wonders that he did on earth, giving us hope, and we come to the resurrection and then remain on our ash heaps. Let's get off the ash heap today with a new vision, with a new power, with a new determination that we see God in his power. We see the resurrection of the things coming. We see the resurrection of the things coming. Okay. And finally, from the entombment, our own life is just a pattern. It's just a shadow and not the real thing. It's a negative side. It takes a death to develop the picture, to put us back in the theophany we come from. Then in the resurrection, we come in his likeness, a resurrected body. What a beautiful thing. Not only beautiful, but it's the real. It's the solemn truth of God's eternal word that will be like him. Now remember, he said, what you are here is only a reflection of where you're going. So live right, do right, think right. Be always giving God the presence, his presence, the glory. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so looking forward in expectation to seeing the saints risen among us, to see Jesus Christ, the one whom they pierced, alive and forevermore. Oh, God, that's going to be such a wonderful time. And so, Lord, we'll just ask you to help us every moment of our lives to put your preeminence and to be coming to church not with a view of a long sermon that you got to do some other things, but Lord, coming to hear you and to hear your word and to know that our prayers are being answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.